We have Jay Beatty Ray from Life365.com on the line with us. Now, we are I'm actually going to play the promo again. I don't know if you've actually heard it, but somebody posted in the boards over in the Life365 message boards about the whole CARP, RIAA, blah, 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 blah thing, which I, you know what, I've read it all and so on and so forth, and it's like taxes. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It's extremely confusing.
There's a lot to it. And there's a lot of legalese and a lot of politics, and it's complicated.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take another minute break, play this promo again. You'll be able to hear it because I'll play it through the phone for you.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to play this, and then we'll get back to our little Q&A session. All righty?
All right.
All right.
Isn't internet radio amazing? The variety you've come to depend on might not be around much longer.
On June 20th at 5 p.m., the fate of thousands of internet radio broadcasters was placed on a countdown to extinction. Despite your outpouring of support, the fate of internet radio is hanging in the balance. The rates handed down on June 20th will send the internet radio world into Chapter 13 as fast as you can say Big Brother.
To stop this, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act must be amended. We need you, the listener, to once again send an even stronger message to the folks in Washington.
Fax them, email them, call them, or sit down and write your representative a letter. But whatever you do, it needs to be done now. Right now. Please.
Ask your congressman to step in and stop this. Speak up for internet radio. Now.
I don't know about that child labor, dude. I got issues with that child labor used on that little spot. So, now, my first question is, As a streaming media professional, how do you think that this will affect streaming media as a whole in the United States, and if not, Canada?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to say at this point. I mean, it's awfully early. I know that a couple of stations have already gone off the air, Soma FM, which is here in San Francisco.
Are you talking about FM stations that were syndicating over the web?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, internet stations, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Soma FM was an internet-only station that was based here in San Francisco, and I went in there yesterday and noticed that they have closed shop. So, you know, kind of in the short term, I would say that probably a number of smaller commercial internet radio stations will probably close just because the royalties are structured on a per-performance, per-listener, per-song basis, which, you know, doesn't really allow for somebody who doesn't have a lot of income to support, you know, it's just like any other purchase. It's just like the more you have to pay.
That is, do you know, just in the last month, this is just going out to those people who have absolutely no real clue about how much it takes to keep a show running and so on and so forth. In the last, like, 35 days, probably I dropped about $800 on the station and on the show. Because, you know, web hosting came due. I had to renew a whole bunch of domains that I had. My old mixer died, which is over there in the corner. I had to buy a new one.
And he hasn't paid me in over a year.
Yeah. Well, I've been giving you other kinds of favors. Uh-huh. You know, we should have been, you know what, I've got an executive on the phone here, and we're like making gay jokes at each other. We'll make it to FM.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean,
I'm very uncomfortable with the term executive.
You are comfortable with that?
I am very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, why?
Well, VP?
I don't know, it just seems so not like me.
Well, what is your title then? What would you consider yourself?
That's just not the way this company works. I mean, we have executives here, but, you know,
the other guys that are allowed to come in shorts and Hawaiian t-shirts every day?
No. Fortunately, there's not that. But, you know, everybody does have a style here. It's much more informal than that.
This kind of sounds like where we work.
Yeah.
Have you
where
ever
do
seen
you guys me? Work?
We can't say.
Oh.
Yeah. They'd fire us for half the shit we say on the show.
Dude, if work found out what we were doing and some of the stuff we said just for being. I got another letter from Q95.5, which I have to go over with you. They want to sue me.
Okay, we've got a guest on the phone.
Yes,
you
we have no.
Involve them in some of the conversation.
All right. Yeah, anyway, so getting back to it. So pretty much internet radio is screwed.
Well, okay, that's not a thing. I mean, that's the short term, right? I mean, there is, you know, one of the things that is clear from all of this is that the music industry is iterating in how it's distributing music, right? And sort of longer term, we have to look at how does this particular ruling affect the way that music is going to be distributed in the future. Clearly, it's too compelling to just go away. It's not going to go away.
Yeah.
Now, we're either going to figure out how to make money doing it, or we're going to, or it's going to go underground, or the record labels will own all of it, you know, and it'll, you know, but I just saw a thread in the boards just now that was, you know, which artists are not going to be played if internet radio goes away. And it's this list. It's just breaking my heart. There's just thousands and thousands of artists that, you know, that are clearly don't get airplay on AM/FM radio and likely wouldn't get airplay on, you know, some of the mainstream offerings that are maybe coming out of the record labels. Who knows? I mean, longer term, maybe the record labels will open up for deeper catalogs. You know, it's just, it's hard to say what it, you know, the future of internet radio is going to be because it's so young. Yeah. And, it, you know, there's lots, the forces behind it are way too compelling to have it just disappear.
Yeah, yeah. Plus the fact that we play a lot of local bands and everything on here.
Exactly.
They right. never get any airtime.
Right.
See, now that's another question. Now, I've seen this pop up in the forums over at Live365.com. And is there actually any websites at all where people can actually get a list of those artists that are licensed by either ASCAP, CSAC, or BMI? Are there any websites that they're saying these artists are with this and blah, 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 blah?
That I don't know. There probably is. I could do some digging.
Because I know that CSAC has been sending out those random witch hunt letters again to broadcasters.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about this, too, is that Sound Exchange, which is going to administer the performance royalties, right, is encouraging independent artists to register with them
so
they get paid through Sound Exchange. So that's, you know, actually a positive development in all of this, is that independent artists will truly get compensated for the airtime or, you know, the airplay that they get on internet radio.
See, to me, I mean, this is just my interjection on this, but it's one of those things that it seems like a good idea at the time, and then somebody else gets their hands on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like the whole AOL Time Warner.
Yeah.
Well, it all depends which way does it go and how far does it go.
Bingo.
Right.
Now, what's another question I wanted to get to? See, I don't believe in prep.
Don't give out the number again so people can call.
Yes,
in and
if anybody has a question for Betty, you can give us a call toll free 1-877 Orbit Juice, toll free in the U.S. and Canada. Let's see, Betty is the intellectual brilliant. Bandman just sent in an instant message. Betty is the Live 365 intellectual, brilliant hot babe in residence extraordinaire.
Can you fit all that on your business card?
Yeah, can you? I mean, is that possible to put all that on your business card?
Yeah, I just have, like, hottie.
Hottie?
Yeah, hottie. Title.
Hottie sums it up.
Yeah. It's easier, it's short, you know. People can read it.
Hottie.
People don't read.
Now, has there been any word of any other... I know this is probably not going to be the case for Live 365. I mean, you are probably one of, if not the largest streaming media provider in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any words of such other companies that are providing bandwidth maybe closing down due to this because they may be losing customers having to shut down their stations over this?
I mean, I would guess we will find that out more in the next, you know, month. You know, the rates are really just sinking in, and I don't think that people really have a sense for how they're going to impact their businesses.
Yeah, nobody got a bill yet.
Yeah, exactly.
See, no.
Calculating it, but they're like, you know, nobody's really kind of absorbed the, you know, what that's going to involve.
So, now, just as a general thing to get out there, so far right now, if you can divulge this information to us, just to kind of get the idea to the people out there just how serious this issue is, how much of the legal fees so far have been for Live 365, if you can answer
how
that?
How much are they? They're a lot. I can't answer that, but they're just a...
Are we talking in the tens of thousands?
A heap.
A
ton. A load.
We're talking over six digits.
A lot. I can't even tell you. I can't even use that language on the air. I could in this because this is the internet, but I won't because I'm a professional.
We ought to try that, being professional.
Yeah, but we'd lose all our listeners.
Yeah, we would. So
I would like to point out that because this is the internet, you can say those words. I just choose not to.
Okay, Batman just sent us a question via instant message. How many stations do you think will quit once the royalty administration fee is announced?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's one of the things that we're evaluating. I should also make note that we are probably not going to announce the rate tomorrow like we had hoped, because there's just so many factors involved, and it'll probably be closer to Friday.
Okay.
The reason being is that very question, you know, is it worth it? You know, how much are we going to lose if it's X dollars? How much are we going to lose if it's Y, Z? And, you know, those are really, really important calculations that we want to, you know, preserve the integrity of the service and make sure that we can, you know, support it all. And, you know, taking a look at how the royalty is structured such that, you know, because it grows with, you know, an increase in TLH, you know, is that a feasible business decision to, you know what I mean, to continue to support as many stations as we do.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot of calculation that are that we're, you know, looking at right now. And that, you know, so, again, we'll know that probably by Friday.
Well, just as a quick question, how many stations are you supporting right now, just to give the listeners an idea?
Right now, I guess it's like 40,000, something like that.
So very, very, yes, very large
amount. We are one of the 45, actually, we are two of the 45,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a... Dude, that's a lot of people when you think about it. That is a ton of people.
We did clean a few out lately, but I don't quite know. I think it's between maybe 40 at this point.
So yeah, approximately 40,000.
Approximately 40,000.
Yeah.
And of which quite a few of them will probably have to drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, now this is just for those Live 365 people out there. I mean, I've been closely watching the message boards, and I've been throwing my 2 cents worth in the whole nine yards. And, you know, I really hate to use this term, but you know what? Right now, my show, I'm going to say whatever the hell I feel like. There are just a ton of cheapskates out there just bitching up a storm.
Yeah.
Any feeling on that, Betty? No comment? Would you like me to say it vicariously? Would you like me to give your answer vicariously through me?
Go ahead.
Oh. Dave, you're bitter with colorful metaphors.
No, I'm going to leave this one to you. I'm going to CYA.
A lot of people have been saying that, you know, once these rates do go in, so on and so forth, that a lot of people will be shutting down their stations, which is actually a very grim reality. We've actually got a call coming through, so do you mind taking a call real quick?
No, not at all. All
right. Oh, Will's like, oh, yeah, I won't.
Will, like somebody on the...
Yes, Will was calling in.
A caller? Okay.
Yes. So a caller called in and decided they wanted to hang up. Okay, here they are again. William, are you there now?
Yes, Daddy, I'm here.
Okay, William, you're on the phone with Betty. What's your question?
Yeah, I was just wondering if Live 365 or any other organization that we know of is actually contesting the Library of Congress's decision in court.
That is a very good question. There are a number of rumors going around in various mailing lists that I'm a part of that, you know, about this is that legislation or, you know, some kind of action that's going to be taken, some kind of contest of the ruling. Again, that's not something that I know that we're involved in at this time. I don't think we've made a position on that at this time, but I do know that there's all kinds of talk about what to do in, you know, in response to that in terms of protesting or filing some kind of legislation.
Will, you sound perplexed.
No, I'm just enjoying listening.
Hmm.
Actually, I do have one more question, if that's all right as well.
Sure.
You know, and for some reason I just forgot it.
Speak up, I can barely hear you.
I hate it when that happens.
And this is coming from...
I'm just curious if, since you are part of the industry, but not speaking officially for Live 365, how do you feel about the Library of Congress making this decision and using a business example that didn't even last 30 days, meaning the RIAA Yahoo agreement, as the dictating force behind their decision?
Good question.
I couldn't hear you, though. Can you say it again? Is it louder?
Nick, go ahead and relay it, and I'll take it off the air.
Okay, thanks.
What was the question? I wasn't paying attention to you, Will. I normally don't.
I don't blame you.
I know.
Okay, I was asking, since she's involved in the industry, but not speaking officially on behalf of Live 365, how does she feel about the Library of Congress actually deciding the amount of these rates based upon the RIAA Yahoo agreement that didn't even last 30 days, because they used that a lot as a guideline?
They used it. That was the only guideline. They threw out a bunch of other deals and used that one only. How do I feel about them using that as a deal? Well, you know, it's interesting because that's, you know, it does, to my mind, seem kind of, and again, this is not the official Live 365 position, so I don't know enough about.
Okay.
She's typing.
And I should know. I've just been really focused on Live 365 land, and I haven't really been able to focus on what other people are doing. So
okay. So now, on the borders of Canada, they're looking at facing something called Tariff 22.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know much about this at all, or have you been keeping an eye on it, or...
No, fill me in.
Okay, hold on. We actually got another call coming through, so hold on a minute. You're live on the air. Who's this? Oh, damn it. It's you again? Okay, hold on. Okay, you're live on the air with JBD Ray. What's your question, dude?
Hey, yeah, this is Roto. I've just got a question about, I know there's a lot of plumbing that has to go through with, you know, ASCAP and the music publishers and things like that, but I'm just wondering... from the perspective of the artist,
uh-huh.
Is it possible for the artist to mount a kind of end run around this whole process? I mean, is the Library of Congress setting rates about how artists are being mandated to be paid for their work? Or is it possible for the artist to wise up to this whole machinery and say, I'm only going to license my work in these particular terms?
Well, that's a great
question. On an individual artist basis. So, I mean, is it possible for every artist out there on an individual basis to be able to say, you know, I'm going to license my work to be broadcast on this station and this station and this station and this station, et cetera, et cetera?
I mean, I suppose that could be possible if somebody wanted to do it kind of on a smaller scale. You know, I know that Sound Exchange is actively seeking independent artists to register with them to be able to distribute royalties to them. So that they're kind of looking to develop this centralized database of, you know, of artist information so that whenever this stuff gets played, the artist gets compensated. Clearly that's more efficient and would yield larger numbers to the artist if, you know, as opposed to them, you know, kind of doing their own stream on their own server, you know, or whatever. But is it possible? I would, you know, I would imagine if you were an artist and you pressed your own, you know, records and you did your own distribution, and, you know, that if you got compensated that way and that was enough to live on, that was, you know, that you could totally do that, you know, or not enough to live on necessarily, but enough, if you could get, you know, you'd, because you would presumably get the 100% return on that, right, because you made everything. Does that answer your question?
Roto?
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
I'm afraid I didn't hear a word of it, but I'll get it later.
You'll get it later?
All I'm hearing from her is mumbling, but
I'll get it.
No, I've got it. I've got it in the archive.
Yeah, grab it in the archive, dude.
Okay. See you. Thanks.
Bye.
Sure.
Okay, and that was Roto. Another call. And this is Jeff again?
Yeah, this is me, man. I got hung up on.
Relax, chill. Okay.
That happened to me, too. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
Okay.
The phone's playing up. I don't know. Okay, Jeff, fire up your question.
Yeah, I was just wondering if, Betty, do you feel that most of the, or I mean, at least a large number of the Live 365 broadcasters are going to be able to afford the new rate?
I hope so. You know, I really do. Because I think that what we're doing here is, I would like to see as many broadcasters as possible get involved in this, and for a lot of reasons. The first of which is that I think that we really do have something that is poised to be amazing when the timing is right, and I think we're all kind of early. This royalty rate that came down, in the way that it came down, the timing of it was really kind of hard. And, you know, we kind of were reaching a huge broadcaster base, global audience. We're still flying high in the numbers on Arbitron. You know, we're doing really well. We've got all this momentum behind us. And, you know, what I'm hoping is that we can come up with a rate that is reasonable and that, you know, and that people will see why it's worth it. You know, it's not going to be, it's not ideal. Obviously, you know, if the advertising market were such that we could command the kinds of CPMs that they were getting back in, you know, 1999 or whatever, we wouldn't even have to do this. But, you know, that's an unfortunate reality about all the timing of this. As to how many people are going to get on board, in my mind, you know, to my mind, I hope as many as possible. I don't know how many or, you know, I don't have numbers. We'll have to see how that plays out. I sure hope a lot of people pick it up and really do something with their streams. I mean, maybe this is, you know, a lot of the dead wood will fall away. You know, there's some streams up there that haven't been updated in some time. And, you know, that the broadcasters even, you know, just kind of left them alone or whatever. And, you know, that presumably those will go away. And the ones that are left are going to be the ones that are, you know, that the people are passionate about, that are actually updating them, that, you know, do shows like this one, that get, you know, go out and get listeners and, you know, really have some energy into it. Because I think that that's where the power of this service lies. When people start using it to speak up, you know, that's where we're going to really make some waves. So, that was a vague answer, probably, but that's the best I can give you. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. I know that you you mentioned a rate before, and I know you really can't say too much, you know, before Friday, you mentioned earlier. But I was just wondering if you could say if it's going to be worse than the first rate that was mentioned, or if it's going to be in that same ballpark, maybe, or
same ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate you you being on the show tonight, and we all love you at Live 365.
Thanks. Likewise.
I'd like to love her in different ways, but hey.
Hey, catch you guys later.
Later, man. Thanks
Bye.
For call.
Yep.
Bye. So, okay, now what I actually want is, I don't know if Sumerian from Rant Radio out there is listening, but I'd like Sumerian to call him because he's pretty much at the forefront of this. concerning Tariff 22 in Canada and how that's going to be affecting them. I'm not exactly sure what the ins and outs of this are, but from what I can tell from what people have told me, I might be getting this completely wrong, but pretty much you would have to pay regardless if you were talking or not. It would be a broadcast fee flat. Now, my other question is for those people that have decided, you know what, that's fine, I'll just set up my own servers at home, blah, 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 blah. They still have to adhere to all these licenses and all these fees, correct?
That's right.
Now, is there, do you know of any way right now that the RIAA and CARP and the DMCA would be, like, regulating these people to hunt them down? Is there really any way that they can do this, or pretty much it's going to be, if we find someone, by a stroke of luck, we're going to go ahead and persecute them to the fullest extent of the law to make an example out of them?
Yeah, that would probably be my guess. I don't know. I mean, I certainly, you know, I wouldn't doubt that there are going to be a lot of, that they're going to have a lot of bodies on the internet, like, looking around and finding stuff. I mean, that just, I don't know that, you know, as a fact or anything, but I would imagine that, you know, the enforcement of that is just going to be sort of, you know, like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Again, it remains to be seen what happens with, you know, how many webcasters stay afloat and how many, you know. I mean, one of the things that Live365 has been really cautious about is being, you know, fully compliant, fully legal, fully licensed on all that, you know, on the level.
Which has got to cost up the bling bling.
Yeah, indeed, right? I mean, you got it. And, you know, when you start thinking about the impact of this particular, of these rates, what is, you know, that's one thing that keeps going through my mind is how splintered is it going to become now, you know? I mean, if they thought file sharing was scary. I mean, and that, this is just, you know, not that they're not going to, I mean, what's the impact on the artists, right? Like, are these artists going to get these royalties if it goes underground?
Chances are, well, are the artists really going to get the royalties now? Even with this whole, what's going on now?
Well, if everyone
a lot of the record execs will be eating
they,
it up.
I mean, we're going to make a giant royalty payment.
Exactly. No.
Retroactive to when we first started the company in July. Of 99.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm guessing that there is going to be an appeal following quite shortly, hopefully.
That is, I mean, I don't know the specifics about that. There's a lot of different webcasting groups that have been, you know, kind of tossing it around on various mailing lists I'm on. I don't know if, you know, I would imagine so. I mean, you know, I would imagine that on either side there's going to be an appeal. You know, if it came down the other way, it would have, you know, been appealed. These things just seem to take forever. But then, also remember, there's another CARP coming up in the next, like, six months. They're going to revisit it and redo it all together. So, you know, it may not be worth anybody's time to appeal this one. I mean, again, it's just, you know, it's all about the money. If it's worth to appeal, then they will. You know.
Okay, Will sends in an ICQ. You were talking to Will earlier. He says, does Betty think the entire ordeal is a byproduct of the original Napster legal debacle?
I think it goes back to that, yes. I think that really... I think it actually just goes back to the internet in general and the way that a lot of companies didn't really understand it at first and didn't really embrace it. And a lot of media organizations in particular were sort of like, la, 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 la. And, you know, meanwhile, the government wasn't really regulating the internet at all because it was sort of, you know, technology at all, you know, can go do whatever it wants. It's self-regulating. We'll not, you know, let it grow and it'll make itself a profit somewhere along the line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Investment came in. It was just this big boom. And then all of a sudden... And then, you know, things like Napster show up, and you know, then it's just like the entertainment industry is a little bit scared. And then, you know, Morpheus shows up, and it's a little more scared. And
then Lars Ulrich from Metallica shows up, and it all gets blown up.
Right, right. And then, you know, and then it gets into that kind of us versus them mentality, which I think probably, you know, the fear around what the internet does and doesn't do well is really kind of at the root of all this. You know, and one of the things it does well is it connects people and it also transmits music really well, right? Music is cheap in terms of bandwidth. It doesn't take a lot of it, unlike movies. It fosters interpersonal connection. I can go onto your hard drive. I can search, you know, look for your look for sound files if I so choose. You know, but it was just a matter of, you know, I think it's just a reaction to this influx of technology that they don't quite understand that's causing a lot of these legal
So pretty much it's just complete ignorance of the internet is causing all these problems.
I don't know if I would say complete ignorance. I would say fear more than ignorance, in my own opinion. Yeah, like an unwillingness to kind of understand it and figure out what it does well, you know? Because it has some really great assets, and it also has some really great not so assets.
Yeah.
You know?
Smokehouse sends in a ICQ explaining that Tariff 22, this is what's they're trying to get going in Canada by SOCAN, I believe. Tariff 22 is a flat fee of 25 cents per listener per month, regardless of what you play. The rate includes talk-only broadcasts also.
Huh.
So, I mean...
25 cents?
25 cents per listener, per listener per month.
Per month?
Yes.
Ours is 70 cents per 1,000 listeners per song.
Yeah.
Times 15 songs per hour. Wow.
Yeah, well, then again, it's Canada. Everything's more expensive when you're talking. And, well, I mean, I'm not trying to rip on Canada, but Canada is a socialist government,
right.
So they will charge more where they can because, you know, they do have free health care. Unemployment there goes on forever, so on and so forth. So they where they can tax, they will tax.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was born and raised in New Zealand, which is another socialist country,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same way there. They will tax you up the bling-bling if they can,
mm-hmm.
which is actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
And Will sends in an ICQ, what exactly do terrestrial traditional radio stations have to pay, and how does it specifically compare to the LOC decision this past week?
Terrestrial radio stations for broadcasting over the AM-FM dial pay nothing in performance royalties. That's part of why this was sort of contentious. Terrestrial radio stations that stream, have a streaming counterpart over the internet, pay the same royalties that we were granted on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Right? So... the idea is when the DMCA created the conditions for a webcasting industry, one of the tenets of that was that they were going to set up a performance royalty. And that was, you know, that was just part of what it took to be in this industry. So we all knew this was coming. The trick was that we didn't, you know, that the precedent had been percentage of revenue in other things, i.e. songwriters royalties like BMI and ASCAP. So, you know, it was something that we knew was going to come, but we didn't know... I mean, we certainly didn't expect it to be this kind of just flat rate. I feel like... what was the exact question again? I feel like I'm missing a point.
He wanted to know exactly what the traditional terrestrial radio stations paying. Yeah.
Yeah, just that they pay nothing for AM/FM airplay.
Because right now, isn't the airplay considered a fee enough for the promotion of the music? Is that how it's working right now?
Well, you know what's so interesting? I don't know if you've been following any of the...
I can't read, so probably not.
2020, it's on TV.
Oh, I don't have television. So anyway.
Yeah.
Do you get all your news off the internet?
Once I closed down
carrier
the game.
Carrier pigeon, actually.
Yeah, carrier pigeon, usually. But living in Redford Meadows, we normally kill the pigeon and eat them. No, but...
Before or after it's delivered the news.
I'm usually not...
Depends on if it makes it here and anybody sees it, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? Hey, Bobo, get the shotgun!
Gun, pretty much, yeah. Here in Redford... See, here's the thing. I'm not going to get into that. But,
Okay,
see,
well, I was going to tell you about the 2020 show, which covered the issue of payola.
Oh, that has been around for years.
Right, but yeah. They're, you know, now it's kind of hitting the mainstream that it's just this, you know, that it's kind of a standard practice, and, you know, there's a lot of articles in Salon that have covered this as well. And basically what they're saying is that, you know, what the instead of the radio stations, you know, the streamers, in our case, paying, you know, getting paid to play artists, you know, it's a completely opposite, right? Radio stations are getting paid to play artists by, you know, these payola indies, they're called.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how opposite that we have to pay to use the song, right? I mean, it's just so ironic.
That's like, just really quick, this kind of reminds me of, they had a thing on VH1. They've got a show called Rock of Ages, pretty much where they just rip on songs and so on and so forth. They had one of their correspondents call up particular, I guess licensing agencies, pretty much saying we would like to use this song for an ad, blah, 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 blah. Sheryl Crow won a $2.5 million for All I Want to Do Is Have Some Fun,
mm-hmm.
to use in an ad.
Mm-hmm.
$2.5 million for a commercial.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how long
that's
did
willing
it...
buyer, willing seller right there.
Yeah, exactly.
$2.5 million, you got it.
Yeah, well, that's a lot.
I mean, pay for it. Did they pay for it?
No, they were just trying to call up just to see exactly how much it would cost. They were just pitching forward stupid suggestions, like saying, oh, we're going to use it for an ad campaign for Wrigley's Chewing Gum. You know, all I want to do is chew some gum, blah, 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 blah. And they said, you know, we've got a budget of $1 million. And I'm like, no, if you times that by 2.5, Cheryl will start becoming interested in this particular issue with you. And it's like, whoa, $2.5 million for using 7 seconds out of a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, where do you, now, as of Monday, the week after, where do you think that a lot of, well, I mean, I kind of want to get on shoutcast.com about this right now, where you do have a lot of people that are running servers from their basements. They know a buddy that's got a T1 or whatever, and they've set up their own stations and set up their own streams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think will be happening to a lot of these people? They will start fading out, or a lot of them will start buying the licensing and so on and so forth?
I don't know. You know, I mean, again, it's like it's really early to tell. I mean, I can't predict anything like that. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's chaos. You know, I don't have any idea what's going to happen. Call me in a week and we'll talk about it.
Call you in a week? Okay, she didn't sound too confident with that one.
Just not on a Sunday, though.
All right. So pretty much it's just one of these things that's completely up in the air. The whole scenario seems like it's just a complete, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, even one could use sort of reason. I mean, people will probably, you know, share resources. You know, stations will probably become, instead of like, you know, everybody having their own, you know, people are going to hook up with each other and share expenses. You know, this may be the, you know, I have an optimistic streak that I've had forever, and, you know, when you can look at some bright sides to some of this, which is that it's really, the people that want to stay in this are going to find a way to do it.
Bingo.
Right? And the people that really care about it are going to do it anyway, because it's way too compelling. And, you know, so will the Shoutcast guys drop off? Yeah, some of them probably will. Will a few of them, you know, hook up, and, you know, will some of the Life 65 guys hook up, and, you know, are we going to make this a stronger industry as a result of what happened? Yes, absolutely. No question. So it's just, you know, this is going to kind of sort out the ones that really, really care about it and the ones that don't.
Okay.
That's the biggest change.
Now, another question I kind of want to throw out there, and there's a lot of them in the Live 365 forums. I know there's a lot of them out there right now. International broadcasters. Now, if under this whole new ruling from the LOC, regardless of what country you're in, you're being broadcasted from the United States, so therefore these fees do apply to you, correct?
That's correct.
So, pretty much whatever fees, royalties, whatever payments apply in whatever country you're from are also compounded on top of the fees that you would have to pay.
Yeah, you know, I've actually talked to John about that, our lawyer, and have been, you know, I'm not quite exactly sure. We have to finish follow up on that, because I'm curious about that, as to whether or not, if those are songwriters' royalties, like BMI and ASCAP, that they're already paying, we're already paying those too. Or, you know, if they're preference, if we're both already paying the same thing, that's wrong. So we're trying to figure out what, you know, what that is. If they're, you know, if they're being charged for it, if we are, you know, I don't know. John's looking into that.
Okay.
But, you know, otherwise, you know, the fact is that nobody's going to be exempt from this royalty right
okay.
on our side.
Now, kind of on the same kind of spin on that question, mm-hmm. Let's say you're in Nova Scotia. And you have your set of servers in Nova Scotia, but you have a set of servers relaying you in the United States. Do the fees apply to you then?
So wait, you have a set of server in Nova Scotia.
Okay, yeah, but Japan, Tokyo, Taiwan, it doesn't matter. But you have the originating server of the broadcast is in another country.
Yeah.
But there is a server in the United States relaying your broadcast.
Do those fees apply to you? I don't know.
Would it apply to the person originating the broadcast, or would it apply to the person who is relaying the broadcast?
That's a really good question. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. That's something I should find out, though.
Okay, now,
as far as for our relay broadcasters, I mean, if you have an account with us, then, you know, it's going to, that rate will apply.
Bingo,
but,
yeah.
But what you're talking about is something completely different, right? I mean, I presume you're talking about something beyond the scope of Live 365, which I think, I don't know, because that gets into some thicket, like some messy legal and, you know, kind of international definitions.
Uh-huh. Now, another on the same spin, a lot of people that are listed on Shoutcast are outside the country. However, their server is also there as well, except for when they set up all their stuff within the Shoutcast DSPs and DNAs and all that, mm-hmm. It lists them on the Shoutcast listing. Now, seeing as though the Shoutcast servers are in the United States, do the royalties apply to them because the broadcast can be accessed from the United States?
Yeah.
So the fees do apply to them in that respect?
I'm pretty sure they do, yeah. I would confirm that with someone at Shoutcast, but I'm fairly
okay.
certain that's the case.
All right, so we can probably work on that, probably get somebody from Nullsoft.
Yeah.
In. Which actually would be cool.
That would be.
That would be. So I guess I can
have a panel.
A panel?
Yeah, like a bunch of people, like the Shoutcast.
Well, we could do a big teleconference.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Except the phone's hanging up on everybody.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. They'd be like, no, man, we're bigger than Lethers. No, we're bigger than Shoutcast. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, now, actually, that raises another question just popped into my mind like that. Now, is, like, such as Shoutcast and LNQ and Stream Guys and Live 365, are you representing yourselves independently with your own legal staff? Or is there, like, maybe some kind of streaming media association, conglomerate, corporation sort of thing that's come out of the works with this?
Well, we are affiliated with DEMA, which is the Digital Media Alliance.
Okay.
In, out of Washington, and they are they're kind of a group that has a number of different streaming companies in them.
Okay.
I think it's DIMA, or digimedia.org.
Okay.
Is their address? Is their URL right?
Digital, was it digitalmedia.org?
Like Real and some others are a part of it. Nope, that isn't it. That's like some .com.
No, don't be surfing porn sites while we're talking to you.
I can't find it.
You can't find it. All right, well, that's the. But we'll keep going with the actual conversation here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is pretty much some form of an association or a union, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
concerning this.
Mm-hmm.
And now, are they representing everybody as a whole, or is everybody pretty much representing themselves independently on this?
Well, you know, it's such a splintered industry, and there's so many levels of it, right? I mean, there's, you know, I just found it. It's Dig Media.
Dig Media.
DIGMEDIA.org.
Okay.
That site will give you some overviews of who they are. Involved John Potter, who appeared at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, which was just stellar. If you didn't hear him, he was amazing. In support of the webcasters, kind of on the webcaster perspective, was quite good. But yeah, you know, there are just like millions of littler ones that, you know, it's whether or not they're part of an umbrella organization. I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, IM Networks has been doing a lot of kind of their own sort of work, and KurtHanson.com,
uh-huh.
kind of from the more journalistic perspective, is kind of bringing people in out of the fold. But is there an official large organization? If the only, you know, the only one that I know of is DEMA.
Okay.
And it's pretty big.
It's pretty big?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will sends in a comment via, I'm going to have to maximize this one, because Will is very well known for his novels via ICQ. Okay, wait, so radio stations don't have to pay any types of these fees outside of a standard ASCAP license because it's considered beneficial to the artist because of exposure.
Right.
With internet webcasters, the only difference between us and terrestrial radio is that we have a farther reach but require an internet connection, and we have to pay.
Right.
Right. Okay, they do know that, well, they do know that there is, like, hardly anyone making money on the internet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so the DMCA and RIAA and Library of Congress, they do know that right now, I mean, I have made absolutely no money off anything I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually do know that we aren't making any money whatsoever.
Right.
They do have that concept in their heads that we are just...
Yeah, well, I never said anything, but I'm sure that was part of the discussion.
Okay. Because, I mean, if I could, I'd love to... Just to offset the costs a little.
I know.
I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, in the last 30-something days, I've probably dropped about $800.
Yeah.
And that's just on, like... And that's stuff that, like, I had to pay. I had no choice.
Right.
So, you got to make money to keep money.
Pretty much.
Instead of the other way around.
Right. Well, right. Again, that kind of gets back to the timing thing, right? Like, I mean, is the market in a position right now to support people like us doing this? Not yet.
Not yet, no. You're right.
You know? And maybe, you know, when... And we have no doubt that the market's going to come back and that there will be, you know, more money coming into it. The industry is so new. You know? How many people have computers? How many people have T1 lines in their house? You know, how many people can listen?
Bingo.
You know, it's not that big yet. So, you know, as the market gets more and more familiar with internet radio, as it spreads, I mean, it's a timing thing. And I have no doubt that we're going to, you know, we've talked about before, like, you know, some kinds of profit sharing and whatnot with broadcasters who have, you know, that's something that we're totally looking to do.
Until it's a point of time where there would be enough money to share around.
Right. Bingo. Yeah. Right. I mean, we got to... Break even.
Yeah, that is one thing that I've been noticing, you know, in pretty much primarily on the Live 365 boards is, and, you know, I hope there's a lot of these people from the boards listening in right now, because, you know, I completely unadulterated, like I said before, I'm doing this on my own show, I will say whatever I feel comes to mind. It just seems that there's a lot of anti-Live 365 statements. Everybody's feeling like Live 365 turned their back on everybody, now stating that, you know, there is going to be a royalty fee, you guys will have to pay it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, personally, to me, it's just kind of sick that for so long there are so many people that have been through, been with Live 365 from day one, where they have the grandfather accounts, mm-hmm. Back in the day when you were offering them for free in exchange for they were being subsidized with advertising, like they still are. Mm-hmm. And it's just really sad to see that these people, just as quickly as they were so happy with the service because they weren't paying a dime for it, have so easily turned their backs now that there's, you know, a nominal fail. I mean, there have been a lot of numbers thrown out on the message boards about this. What is the most likely largest amount that the Live 365 broadcasters would have to pay for these royalty fees per month?
You know, like I said, I think it's, you know, 20 is the high end.
Okay. Uh-huh. Now, is that per broadcaster or per station?
Per station.
Per station. So, like me with two stations, it's an extra 40 clicks a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That, now we're talking worst case.
Right? Worst case. That's, okay, that's complete
like
worst case.
Like I said to you, we're looking at ways to change, you know, to mitigate some of that.
Okay. Now, there's also, there was this 500...
And that's the fee, by the way, in addition to your regular broadcast account.
Yeah, right? I understand that. I'm not one of the few that's going to be, oh, they didn't say that, so I won't be paying that.
I do feel like I have to say those things really carefully, though, because people don't hear it and they don't read. And
you mean the cheapskates?
Yeah.
What was that under your breath?
I think that's what she was trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, common sense, people. You just kind of got to figure it out.
This is America. There is no common sense anymore.
Tell me about it.
Well,
dude.
You know, it's just that I think part of what happened is that, you know, when we came in, when we started this company, there was, you know, a certain wisdom to giving some stuff away for free, right?
Like, bingo. Yeah.
You know, it was a different time. You know, again, like CPMs were, you know, 50, you know, 500 times what they are now. You know, money was flowing. It was just like, this is, you know, give it away and we'll have this, you know, this advertising market that will support it. And, you know, in theory and on paper, it was awesome. And then reality hit, then the market crashed, then September 11th happened, then, you know, just like all these just really hard economic realities came to pass. And, you know, so we do have to look at readjusting what we do. And, you know, we've kept things for free as, you know...
As long as you can.
As
without...
long as we can without losing money on it, you know? More money. So.
Okay. We have an incoming call. We'll try it one more... No, we'll try it one more time.
All right.
All right. You are live on the air. Who's this?
Adam.
Adam. Hey, is this Adam 87?
Yeah, it is, man.
Hey, how you doing, dude?
Hey,
good,
Adam 87.
Good. What is your question, dude?
There's been a lot of broadcasters on the board saying that... Like, their grandfather accounts not paying, saying they're just going to leave if they have to pay anything.
The whole cheapskate theory?
What's that?
The whole cheapskate theory?
Yeah, well, that means our rates are going up, meaning people who are going to pay.
If too many people leave, will the rates go up? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
No.
No?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Something I wanted to ask you about was there was this talk, that, well, it's actually in the list of rates, that there is a $500 one-time fee, I believe. Is that it, or is it a yearly fee for broadcasting?
Yeah, that's that's for pro broadcasters.
Okay, so the personal broadcasters don't have to pay for that $500 fee.
You guys don't have to pay that, right.
So pretty much if there's any internet radio station out there right now, now, do they have to be making a profit, or do they just have to be selling product?
No, that's the minimum. Oh, to be a
considered a professional broadcast.
Do they have to be making a profit, or do they have to be...
Selling a profit. Like, let's say, like me, like, eventually I'm going to make a CD of all the shows, and I'm just going to sell it for a flat rate just to cover the cost of burning the CD and sending it.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have to pay that $500 a year fee now?
If you were to sell it, I don't... Oh, man, I wish I could... I'm not confident answering that.
Okay.
In terms of how your professional status is, you know, if that's considered professional status and if that is considered something that you'd have to pay the rate for, I don't know.
I can't imagine
that. You know, these are good questions, and I'm glad you're asking them because they'll help me, you know, I can get some answers. And
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because we're going to need to do a FAQ about this stuff.
Okay.
You know, an FAQ and, like, explain all this. Because, I mean, like, half of this stuff, we're just like, how does this affect us? We're constantly coming up into questions that we don't have answers for, so... it's good to get some more.
Well, that's what this is all about.
Yeah,
starting people talking about it and getting their curiosity up.
Absolutely. Bingo.
You know which song I wish I had right now, but I don't?
Which?
Don McLean, American Pie.
Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
I put that in the Stinky Fish. The Stinky Fish Dream has a cover version of that.
Oh, the whole parody?
Yeah.
I mean, it's I mean,
the Madonna.
And I could drag you outside and shoot you, David. No, but it's just one of these very sad things where slowly but surely, I mean, it's like they say with the frog. You put a frog in boiling water, he's going to jump out.
Mm-hmm.
You put a frog in cold water, slowly turn up the heat, and the poor little dude is just going to completely fry.
Right.
And I mean, now, not being a part of Live 365, but being somebody who's very experienced and knowledgeable of the world of streaming media, do you see this perhaps down the line, them using, you know, perhaps, say, 9 to 18 months down the line, RIAA and the Library of Congress saying, okay, we're going to have to pump up the fees, and this is why.
God, no. They'd have to go through a whole new CARP to do that.
Okay.
And I don't think that that will happen because there's been such outcry on this one. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I know right now it's pretty much everybody versus the RIAA right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't. I know 101 WRAF, one of the local stations here, Friday morning, they shut down their Windows Media Streams.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not
too
sure. They
want to pay the rates on it, huh?
Well, they're part of the Gradient Media Station Group, and they have the money coming in, because they've been the riff for, 31, 32 years now?
Yeah, for
so they have the money for it. I'm not too sure if they did it because it was expensive. I think they more or less maybe would have done it out of a protest, because I know quite a few of the guys at the Riff from doing the show here, and I have met them on several occasions. Like, there was that Spix Howard Open Day.
Yeah.
Scripps Howard, sorry, School of Broadcasting on Open Day, and they wanted me to be there as part of their group.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not too sure if it was if they actually didn't have the money to run these streams anymore, but I know as of Monday morning Friday morning, their streams, they turned them off.
Well, I'm sure a lot of radio stations are evaluating whether or not, you know, terrestrial radio stations, I should clarify, are evaluating whether or not their internet streams are, you know, giving them enough, like, ROI. You know, if there's no reason to continue streaming, if their listenership is so low, you know, it may not be worth it to them. I mean, they've already got terrestrial broadcasts.
Bingo.
And, you know, this may actually, you know, again, that's another thing that may affect the, you know, this whole shakeout is, you know, what's terrestrial radio going to do with it? You know, how does if terrestrial radio goes away from the internet, you know, and the internet only ones are the ones that have the passion that you can't, that are playing stuff that you can't get on the air, you know, then what happens? You know,
yeah.
A whole new market, you know.
Bam Man. Bammy sends in a message.
Bammer!
Bammer! What about peer-to-peer technology? Timbo thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's a question for JT.
JT?
I'm going to take the fifth. I don't know enough about it. I know that we're looking into it, but I don't know what beyond that.
Oh, smoky.
I do know that sliced bread is fabulous, though.
I have heard the same thing about sliced bread. I will agree. You know what? I Smokey is indeed the man. As soon as I said Don McLean American Pie, bang! He's sending it to me via the chat room. I love Smokey. You are the man. So pretty much, we just have to sit and wait, see what happens, and just pretty much. Well, are there any words of confidence that you can give to internet broadcasters right now?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom, and, you know, like I said, we are at a really interesting time right now, and I really encourage everybody who cares about this stuff to find a way to make it work, because there is so much to lose by not doing so in terms of, you know, who owns radio stations that are on the air now, who owns control of, you know, who has control over these things. I mean, this is my opinion, by the way. There's a lot to lose. And right now we do have a window, you know. It's not dead yet, as they say in Monty Python. You know,
yeah.
we still have a chance. So if you, you know, whatever the rate is, we're, you know, going to work to make it something that's as reasonable as possible, you know, to still pay our bills and get out from underneath all the stuff we got to pay, you know, the payments we got to make to the RIAA and whatnot. And do it because you love it. Do it because it's important to you, and get your voice out there. You know, that is what's going to make this service interesting.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I really want to encourage every single person who maybe thinks they can't pay, you know, look, I don't, you know, if you can't pay, don't pay, right? I'm not going to force you. But if it's worth it to you to do it, if you think there's something cool here, by all means, you know, don't go out to a movie one night or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Well,
change your lifestyle. If it's worth it, just do it.
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. And now's the time. We're still around, and we're around, right? We're, you know, we're a big company. We've got, you know, we've got the engine behind us. We've got a lot of great quality content up there. We've got number one positioning in Arbitron. You know, we've got a lot of momentum, and I would really hate to see this deflate our momentum.
Yeah, exactly. make your voice heard while you still can.
Absolutely.
How many people out there can say they had something to do with a major revolution of some kind, you know?
Dude, you don't even
call
know.
Call people, right, congressman?
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about me, writing my congressman?
Well,
that helped me.
Call then, you know, keep
Actually,
trying.
We do
if
have
it doesn't
to,
work, keep
I
trying.
I do have to call him and leave him a voicemail. Did you hear about that? I was talking about that earlier.
I didn't hear it. Uh-uh.
I wrote my congressman, who, by the way, it's like, I'm looking at his address. He's on Middle Belt, dude, so that's like 2 miles away from
him.
Yeah. He's on the same block
as me. That's what I'm saying.
So,
unfortunately, there's no generic address or anything on there that we can write to all congressmen.
I wrote my congressman, and this is the letter he sends me back. Dear Nick, knowing of your interest in the current events affecting the Middle East and Israel, I wanted to take this opportunity to update you on developments in the U.S. House of Representatives. What does this have to do with webcasting?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... right.
It's like his aide got the wrong message.
That's what I said. They stuck the wrong note in the envelope.
Uh-huh.
And
was that a print thing that they sent you? Like a piece of paper?
Yeah,
a
piece of paper. Just, it's all watermarked, got letterhead on it, the whole bit. But it's like, hey, I didn't know...
Yeah, and they got 2 million of them sitting there ready to put
exactly.
in envelopes.
Yeah, exactly. And the funny thing is when he signs his name... Look, dude, it's Joe.
Yeah.
He signs it as Joe.
No, they stamp it as Joe.
I don't even... Seriously? No, dude,
that's printed
on there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
But still, you can't look at that as a bad... Just keep trying. Everybody needs to keep
trying.
Yeah, exactly.
Someday
you
can tell your grandkids that, you know, you affected this, the outcome of this.
What I would like to see, though, is being the internet bad boy and the complete shit stirrer of the internet, I don't know why we just don't turn up on the doorstep and just say, hey, we're here.
Do an interview.
Well, no. I mean, the thing is, you know what I'm actually going to do right now?
Wait. Show up on whose doorstep?
Anybody's... Their doorstep. Them. Big brother. Well, I'm actually.
Have a doorstep?
I guess they
we'll
do.
We'll find it.
What am I going to? I'm going to do the word du jour real quick. Seeing as though we're on the topic, just so I don't lose, I'm going to do the word du jour.
Okay.
So yeah, very quickly.
Break out your dictionaries and Kleenex. It's now time for word du jour.
Oh damn, wrong one. Anyway, the word of the day is slacktivism.
Selectivism?
Okay. Yeah, selectivism. That is, you are a couch potato activist. You're a slacktivist. Selectivism.
Oh,
somebody else sit there and bitch.
Which is pretty much what we're all. Which is pretty much what we're all doing. We're being slacktivists.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here pumping out emails, pumping out letters. Do you think that it may get to the point where, in a physical form, being us as people, actually storm the doors of the Library of Congress and just said something has to be done?
I don't think that. Storming the Library of Congress is the way to go. I do think that
Heck
there is...
shot.
No, just wait with me here. There is opportunities for that kind of, you know, an organized protest. That is possibly something that, you know, might work. Absolutely. Absolutely. It just depends on how long, you know, it depends. Again, it's a timing thing. Like, we'll have to figure out that kind of when we know more information about, you know, like I said, there may be bills being introduced. We don't know. There might be, you know, other congressional... There's a congressional interest. I don't know if you saw on the site a couple weeks ago... Orrin Hatch had communicated with Patrick Leahy about creating some legislation that would kind of work with, you know, sort of antitrust stuff with the RIAA. So there's interesting legislation stuff that's happening right now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if it can be moved through, if we've got allies in Washington that are willing to work on that, and we do know that we do, right?
Okay.
So that's good. It's not like, you know, the Washington is just, you know, a bunch of deaf ears. So, you know, obviously it's much more preferable to go that route. Than to like have something right now because it's too early.
Okay.
If that stuff just gets whitewashed and forgotten about, and you know suddenly this kooky bill, this what's that guy, Fitz Hollings.
Okay.
You following that.
Yeah.
If that gets passed, then you know we've got other battles to fight. So you know it's a matter of kind of what happens. Again, it's kind of early, but certainly I wouldn't if it comes to that, you will hear from me. Personally, I will write everybody listening to this show and everybody who broadcasts on our service, and we'll organize something.
Okay, cool.
We're going to have a sit-in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's have a sit-in, dude. You know, I was actually planning on doing this a while. I had the time all scheduled at work to take off to do this. I was actually going to pack up all my gear, head down there, and actually, I was this far, I mean, like, a smidge away from actually getting all the bandwidth lined up for wireless internet bandwidth so I could actually broadcast down there wireless the whole bit.
Are you talking about from the Washington, from Washington?
Yes, yes. I was gonna take put everything in the back of my Explorer, head down there.
Cool, well, call me before you do.
Well, the thing is, it's like, if anybody out there can hook me up with wireless bandwidth for this, I will do it. I will spend as many days out there as I possibly can broadcasting, telling people how much I hate this whole ordeal. So, you know, if people at Live 365 could hook me up with some bandwidth, it would be much appreciated.
If Live 365 could?
Yeah, yeah, you guys could hook me up some wireless bandwidth, perhaps?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we'll look into that.
You'll look into it?
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
So you're going to join us for the sit-in, then?
You're going to join us for the sit-in?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God, if we have that kind of thing, oh, you'd know it. I'll be out there in the front lines, man, with a bullhorn. Getting people interested. Passing out flyers.
Cool. I'm all about that.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's just not there yet. It's you know, this stuff takes so long to get through, and both through the government, you know, the governmental processes, as well as, you know, media. We got a lot of great media attention last week about this stuff. So it's, you know, the trickle-down effect is kind of now starting after, you know, stories have run in, you know, New York Times, and I get the whole list of them all. CNN, I guess, has done a couple of them. You know, and as it gets more, as more stations make determinations about what they're going to do, you know, the Soma FMs of the world, the Beethoven.coms, you know, what are these guys going to do? And we got to, you know, we'll see what the impact is. I mean, if it really is, you know, that metaphor of the frog was really great, because that may be exactly what happens. Slowly but surely, they just all, you know, kind of die off.
Look at the gas prices.
No, bingo.
Same thing, man.
Bingo. Here on that one. Yeah. Anyway, Biddy, I think we've taken up enough of your time. If anybody has a last-minute question, let it be known now, because I'm pretty sure...
we were on the phone for an hour.
I know.
We do appreciate it. Thank you
very
much.
Yes, we do.
Likewise. No, it's fun.
It's fun?
Yeah.
You know what? That's got to be the simplest word somebody's ever used to describe this show.
Well, I was just thinking fun. That she's the first woman that we've had on the air that we haven't had hang up on us.
Not only that, but...
We hung up on her.
We haven't sexually...
You hung up on me like three or four
times.
Yeah. That was technical difficulties. But the thing is, it's like, this. You have got to be probably... No, I've sexually harassed my wife live on the air as well. You've got to be the only female we haven't sexually harassed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I'm honored.
I don't know who should be thanking who on that one.
Yeah.
So I
think our listeners are thanking us.
Yeah,
both.
I think the listeners are like, dude, like, everybody else is like, hey, my God, Nick kept his mouth shut.
See, we just won a bet. That's the only reason we did this. We can have an intellectual show.
Yes. Well, you did. You did a very
we
good
did.
Job.
We did. This is an Orbit Juice
you
first.
Good questions. You were good on the air with your call-ins. You got a future in this.
At least Nick does.
At least
never
I
make
do.
Anything.
You know, this is the reason I hated FM, because FM was just, you had to be too serious.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand, hey, it's 29 degrees in the big city. It's like, whatever.
No. You did work in FM?
I used to work in FM. I hated it.
Really? Good for you.
I actually got fired from FM, but that's a very long story for another time.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was what they would call... ethnically,
trouble.
No. Ethnically, I wasn't what they were looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethnically or ethnically?
Yes, ethnically.
Ethnically,
yes. They didn't want a white person working at their station.
Wow.
Yeah, the joys of living in another country. Quite interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway, Biddy, thank you very, 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 very,
thank
very,
you.
Very, very, very much for your time.